cool, but if you pick her over me, you're just a fool.
Nasty, well, Peter.
Oh,
so sorry.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode number 24 of the Walking Naked podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Kelly.
Yes.
Sorry, we were just doing our vocal exercises and somebody started.
Oh, of course I did. I had to catch you in mid-laugh there. So.
Yes, and my first word that came out of my mouth was, Peter.
Actually, I think it was, Peter's so bad. It's like, what? Yep, that's my mom.
Nice.
So,
yeah, thanks.
So welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 24 of our podcast. We are really happy that you have joined us for listening to this episode. Last week, we came to you with talking about season one, episode three.
Episode two.
What was the name of the episode? Do you remember?
Episode two, I think.
Yes, episode two. It's, oh yeah, Guts.
Oh yeah. Of course, let's take all the guts out of one walker.
Exactly, and wear it as our new suit jackets.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And smells good, it's our new cologne.
Exactly, it's a new trend. Yeah, it doubles as a suit jacket and cologne.
Yep.
I'm surprised that we didn't think about that last week. So,
well, that scarf.
Yeah.
You know, that hand scarf thing.
Good Lord.
That was super.
This is like the most super duper, you know, thing ever. I think we should start wearing people.
Gross.
Not in a creepy Silence of the Lambs way.
No.
Yeah. No. No.
The non-creepy way.
Yeah. The non-creepster way. That's for sure. I don't know what we're going to start off with this. Oh, Walking Dead news, right? So do you want me to start off with that, or did you have anything to tell me?
No.
Well, I guess we should tell everybody that we're going to be taking a look at episode three. So
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously the show's in hiatus, and so we're starting over and reminding ourselves, oh, my God. I mean, we already knew this show was great, but when you start over on it, Yes, I'm extremely excited to talk about this episode. So
I'm really excited too, because I'm curious to get your reactions on season one, episode three, which was called "Tell It to the Frogs." We'll get into that after we get into some Walking Dead news.
You're weird.
Yeah, I am weird. I don't know. I was trying to think of something. I was like, some
news.
I could have done like the Ron Burgundy. I've got a very important news bulletin, or whatever he says. So there's some cool things in the news. Of course, the coolest thing in the Walking Dead world is the fact that season five has begun filming. How excited are you, Mom, for that?
Actually, I'm extremely excited, except I really think I had planned to quit my job.
By the time they started filming, so you could stalk Andrew Lincoln?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Good plan.
I thought it was a great plan.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you about that plan prior to us going on, because I said, hey, I mean, you live there. If I quit my job, I was just going to live with you guys. And you said, I don't know how that's going to work out, Mom.
Well, I said, well, if I quit my job too, who's going to support us? Who's going to put a roof over our head as we both stalk the Walking Dead cast members?
Get
a girlfriend.
Yeah, man, she's pretty nice.
Yeah, she's nice. Maybe she
I think
would
she'd take care of us.
Yeah.
She seems extremely responsible.
I think so. Much more responsible than I am if I want to go gallivanting, you know, following the Walking Dead cast all over the place. I keep thinking about making a trip to Barnes & Noble just to see if I can find Mr. Andrew Lincoln. But I haven't done it yet. I haven't been that much of a creeper. Well, actually, it's not a creeper thing at all. I love it. I can't lie. I'm trying to make it sound like I'm so
super above that.
That I would not go stalk the cast members. Oh, whatever. I would definitely go stalk them. I tried to go stalk them this weekend.
Yeah.
Because I went down to Sonoy, Georgia. That's where the set of Woodbury is, if you don't know that, if you're not familiar with what the town's names are. And I just love it there. I could hang out there all day, because you go down there if you're a Walking Dead fan, and you're one of everybody else. Like, you know, at least I think I am. I think everybody down there loves The Walking Dead, because not only is it, you know, really cool to be like, oh my God, Norman Reedus just hanging, you know, he's hanging out at the Woodbury shop, or he's hanging out at the coffee store, and Yeah.
It's just like, it's like you're so close.
Yes.
You know, they were right there.
Yes. They were right there like 2 days prior to me going there. I went over the weekend on Saturday and, you know, went to the Sonoy coffee shop, and I went to the, I guess it's called the Woodbury shop, which is basically the official Walking Dead store. Went to the Georgia Mercantile store, which is new. You should definitely go check them out. They have like all fresh grown, like, you know, from the farm foods that they've, you know, that they've made jams and jellies and like their own salsas and all kinds of really, really those nice goodies. Plus, they've got a lot of Walking Dead stuff. So
I'm just laughing at you. Yeah, you're, no. They're salsas and jams.
Yeah. Jams. Yeah. I don't know where my voice is going. Basically, I'll tell you this, if you're still sticking with us through this episode.
Uh-huh.
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
I did the radio show this morning with you, which we do. It's on alwayscool.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to find that, you know, to find us. You do the show from 6 a.m. Central Time to 10 a.m. Central, but I do the show with you 3 days a week. I literally did the show from my floor this morning. I cannot get up.
Yeah, it made you sound old.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm
on the floor.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and I've already been defeated for the day.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Did he get better? I mean, it should have gone up from there.
Did he get better? Of course it did not go up from there. I went into real work after that.
Yeah.
What goes up? What goes up unless you're doing the radio, which still is a job. You still have to go on there and talk
still
on the air for 4 hours.
Actually,
with songs tuned.
Yes.
You know,
and I actually, it's a little bit longer than that, longer than four. But, but it is. It's a great job. So
it's a lot.
I can't complain.
Yeah. So I'm apologizing beforehand if I'm a little bit off tonight. I apologize, folks. But yeah, it was a whole lot of fun down there in Sonoy. I wish you would have been able to come with us. I picked up some goodies. I know you tweeted out earlier that you got the Norman Reedus with his bike, so the Daryl Dixon bike thing. I bought it as well.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Did you get that this weekend?
Yeah, I did. I got it at the Woodbury store, the Walking Dead store. I picked it up there. Got a great deal on it. Those folks are awesome.
Okay, I'm just... Should we talk about prices? I'm just curious.
Sure. Let's. Well, you may have, you bought yours, right? You didn't get yours for free, or did you trade yours out?
Okay. Well, it was trade.
Okay. Well, how much was it anyway?
It was. Oh, crud. This is what happened when you don't actually pay cash.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was.
You get it for free.
I think it was close to like 40.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay. Yeah,
the store that I went to, it was the same price. It was $40. But I will tell you this: they gave me a deal on it. They charged me only $35. And yeah, it's
almost as good as my free.
Yeah, almost as good as your free, which is the official Walking Dead store. I can't ever remember what the actual name of it is down there, which is very sad because I've been there like four times. But they changed locations. They used to be like. In a really, whenever we went down there, it was in like a pretty small little store.
It was teeny tiny.
It's huge now, and they have like a really awesome little museum, like in the basement floor, which was amazing. They had Daryl Dixon's bike down there. They had like some prison, like mock prison cells, which are really cool.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
They had the governor's heads, you know, that he had in like the aquariums. They had something that like kind of mimicked that. It was awesome. I absolutely loved it. It was really neat. I think that they're eventually just going to keep expanding on that and expanding, and I think it's going to be just amazing to take trips down to Sonoy. Of course, you can take like tours with the Atlanta Movie Tours, and I'm sure a lot of the people in the town, they'll take you on walking tours. I think the Georgia Mercantile Store, shout out to them. They take you on walking tours as well, and they were lovely people. Like they all seem to love The Walking Dead just as much as you and I do. I have to say this before I forget about it. Happened to meet a guy that was down there, and man, this dude was like the biggest Walking Dead fan I think I've ever met. Let me just look him up on Twitter to make sure I can give his name right. Remember whenever we took the tour and Casey was on the tour, and he was just super helpful. We took the Walker Stalkers season 4 premiere, like we went and watched the premiere and took a tour earlier. And this guy, his name's Casey. You can follow him on Twitter. It's, what is it? Casey.
It starts with an F.
Oh, man. Florig, right? Well, it's Casey Florig, and that's his Twitter name. So go follow him. He does a really awesome thing. It's called The Dead Effect as well. It's like a documentary on things that are going on, you know, as far as fans, how they have reacted to the show, how this, you know, these little small towns have been affected by The Walking Dead. It's really, really cool. But I have to say, I met this guy. His name was Keith. His name is Bolt Keith, Bolt T. Keith on Twitter. Amazing dude. This guy knew freaking everything about where every location was, every set. It was amazing. And everybody in the town knew him. Like, I mean, he was a regular in Sonoy. He was awesome. And it was really nice getting to meet him, another fellow Walking Dead fanatic.
Yeah. Where is he from?
I don't know. I think he was from somewhere around there in the area. But but yeah, you can go follow him. Like I said, I think it's Bold T. Keith. Is that what I just told you?
Yeah,
Go give him a follow. Give him, you know, give him a shout. If you're ever in Sonoy, definitely give him a shout, because he literally knew everything. He's like, yeah, they're going to be filming here. They're going to be filming there. And I'm like, can I just like put you in my back pocket for a day and like take you around so you can show me where all these places have been filmed, or, you know, all these sets and all these cool shots that have been, you know, filmed in the Walking Dead universe. So it was lovely. Everybody needs to go down there.
Yeah, I was super jealous. I still am. I'm a little pissed about talking about it. So
yeah, like, I don't want to talk about it right now. I totally understand. I would have been jealous too if it was you going down there, and I missed you being there. It's still fun. But it's not the same whenever we don't have the entire Walking Naked podcast team down
there. Thank you. So, thank you.
Yeah, I left some of our parts down there too. So, hey, maybe we've got some new listeners from the Sonoy Coffee Shop. Maybe they picked up the card and they're tuning in right now.
That would be awesome.
Appreciate you. Also, some other news in the Walking Dead universe. A new cast member has been added, and it's another Wire alum.
Yeah, which is really interesting. You know, it's like they have their favorite shows that they pick from. It's like, okay, we like everybody on The Wire, everything that they did. Let's just, you know, recruit them to be on the show. And now I haven't heard who he's going to play.
They have not said who he's going to play. The big rumor, and the guy, by the way, his name is Seth Gilliam. He was one of the detectives on The Wire. To be honest, I've only watched the first two seasons of The Wire. He was fantastic on it. I had never made it to when Chad L. Coleman was actually on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I did see, you know, Lawrence Gilliard. He was on the first two seasons of the Wire. Loved him as Bob Stuckey. He's Bob Stuckey on the show. I can't remember what his actual name was. I'm forgetting that right now. But he was awesome. Loved him on The Wire. The Wire is awesome if you haven't seen it. Have you watched it, Mom?
I started it, and then we got on so many other shows. So it's one of those ones that I've got, you know, set aside to binge watch.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's like, I mean, Deadwood and The Wire. I think those are two of like HBO's best shows ever. I know you really loved the one with Dexter in it, with Michael C. Hall, and he was the
6 feet under.
6 feet under.
That is such a great show.
Yes.
Such a great show.
We seem to like these odd shows.
Dark.
Dead people. And, you know, people getting murdered. And
seriously, we're very upbeat, cheerful people.
Yeah. I mean,
can't you friggin' tell?
Yeah. Before I have to murder you. Yeah. Which is pretty cool. But like I think I was going into who it's rumored that he may be. And that is Father Gabriel Stokes from the comic book. Not really sure. He may be a completely different character. He may be, you know, one of the people from Terminus. Not really sure at this point. But
I do know he's an extremely attractive man.
No. Oh.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having...
Can't hurt there.
Nope. Can't hurt.
You're like, all right, Andrew Lincoln.
No. Might have, not even.
Not on that level?
Nope.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't go there.
Mr. Seth Gilliam. Or Gillum. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so...
Seth, you're cute. But you know Andy Lincoln.
Seth almost Andy Lincoln, but not so fast. Yeah, I'm sure Andrew Lincoln would be happy to hear that he's still number one in your heart. Other news, Josh McDermott. I don't know if you've been checking out Mad Men recently. I haven't watched Mad Men since like season one.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, a few seasons behind.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on the show. I know a lot of people still love it, but Josh McDermott, he's going to have a role on, I believe it's this week's episode of Mad Men, which is, you know, will be Sunday, May the, whatever the date is that, May the 7th plus 4 days.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that?
Mother's Day. It's the 11th. I think it's, I thought it was the 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something. Yeah. 7 plus 4 is 11.
Oh, sweet.
We did math. We're good.
Not very well.
No, we're not the best at math, but, you know.
Well, I wonder if he'll be wearing a mullet or not so much a mullet.
A part of me really, really wants to see him in a mullet in whatever, the 60s. Yes. Yeah. It would be fantastic. I mean, the businessman redneck.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. You can't...
I mean, that's really what the mullet is all about, you know.
Yeah.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Party in the back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. That would be pretty awesome if he rocked the mullet on Mad Men. So, we'll have to, you know, Walking Dead fans, if you don't watch Mad Men, go support Josh McDermott. That dude is awesome. I love him. There's pretty much two of my favorite people on Twitter right now. And they're going to surprise you, I think. Because one is not Norman Reedus.
Well, I think one of them might be Josh McDermott.
Yeah, and one of them is Josh McDermott.
Wow. How did I guess that?
I told you that I was a little bit off tonight. I'm a little bit slow. but yeah, Josh McDermott is one of my top people that I love to follow on Twitter. The other one is Brett Dalton.
He says Brett Dalton?
I don't know. Yes, it is Brett Dalton. Sorry. I get him so confused because his name is Agent Ward on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But that dude is hilarious. I know you don't watch.
No, I don't. I don't. And I don't follow him.
Oh, my God. Last night, because I do an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, you can go find it on filmdispenser.com. That's our lovely sponsors for this podcast. And we were, you know, we were recording and talking about the last night's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Brett Dalton let out this tweet of, I got 99 problems, but a Fitz ain't one. Because, spoiler alert, he dropped Fitz out of a plane. But he's just hilarious. He has, like, the best
that
puns ever.
That is super, super funny.
Yes.
I didn't laugh just because I thought it'd be really funny for it to be one of those you have to be there kind of moments.
Yeah,
and it made you feel right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing ever. And it's like just crickets. Yeah.
Oh God, that's hilarious. I kill me.
Yeah. I'll kill you. All right. That's right.
Okay. No, it really was. That's super funny.
This podcast is now over with, and we're moving on. I'm looking for replacements for my mom.
Your replacement mom.
You've got to still fit the mom. Like, you know, I've got to call you my mom on the show.
Yes.
Even though you might
not
be a mom. So I'll just, like, kick it over to you. And I'm like, so mom, what did you think about this episode, mom? And they're going to be like, I'm a dude. What are you talking about? Mom business. You're a mom.
Not your mother.
Yeah, exactly. Not your father. Yeah. The last bit of news for the week. The Walking Dead, according to Robert Kirkman.
Whatever.
I don't get this. I do get
no.
it because it's just a headline story. But it is interesting and it kind of gives me a good question to pose for you. He said, The Walking Dead will be lucky to make it to season 7. How sad would you be? Because that's only three seasons away, and we've been doing this podcast, and I've been having a lot of fun.
Me too. And of course, we can, you know, start over and over and over again and continue to do the podcast until, you know,
we'll be like, this is the sixth time that we've done season 1. We're going to find some new things, folks.
Yeah, some new stuff. I think he was just, I think the emphasis is lucky, you know, on how you say it. We'd be lucky if we made it to season, because when I looked at the article, to me it sounded like he was, you know, just saying, hey, you know, if you get to be on for 5 seasons, that's really great. If you get to be on for 7, you know, that's great. Of course, you know, Scott Gimple was like, and we'll be on for 25 seasons, don't you know.
He's like, I better not get fired.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because he's the only showrunner that's made it through Well, Frank Darabont made it through season one and part of season two.
Yeah. I mean, Scott Gimple hasn't been the showrunner for all that long.
No.
But I will say he is the biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
I mean, the guy is just so upbeat, so just such a huge, huge fan of the show. I don't know. I mean, it's hard not to like him.
I would find it very hard to ever think about them replacing Scott Gimple in the show at this point. I have really, really enjoyed the direction that he's taken in the show. I don't know where I was listening to this. It might have been one of the other Walking Dead podcasts, either like the Walking Dead cast. I think it was the Walking Dead cast. I was listening to them talk about the fact that how Scott Gimple had to, he still had to wrap up things from season three. That wasn't him, you know, like that wasn't his show per se, because he wasn't the one, you know, calling all the shots, but he still had to wrap up season three in order to make it through, you know, that storyline of season three in order to get to the storyline that he wants to tell. Mm-hmm. So I thought he did a fantastic job. I mean, you may have gotten, you know, a similar ending that you wanted from the, you know, the season finale of season three and season four, the second or the first half. But it didn't matter because it all kind of like came together in this beautifully grotesque Walk Dead way. And I loved it. And I love the fact that, you know, we didn't have anybody die. Like, I actually really enjoyed that they were like, nope, we're bucking the trend. We're not going to have like this. I mean, I know we did have people die, but we didn't have like that season finale major character death. I really enjoyed that they didn't feel like they had to go there for, you know, for fan service.
And I was so glad because I I didn't know who I was willing to part with.
Well, I know that I was way wrong because I speculated that Norman Reedus, Daryl Dixon.
Daryl's going to be dead. Daryl's going to
be dead. I was so scared. I was like, no, Daryl can't die.
And what did I tell you?
You were like, Daryl's not dying.
Nope, they're not stupid.
Well, see, I called it, and now I'm going to be like that person that's like, you know, devastated when he dies like in episode four of season five.
He's not going to die.
I hope not. I hope that he does not die. That's for sure. Before we get out of the news part, I was going to tell you that I believe some of the season, I think it's season six of the action figures. They're going to be hitting stores pretty soon as well. I think what we got is season five. So season six of the action figures are going to be coming soon.
I could have sworn that my box that it said series four.
Let me look. Excuse me for the noise, folks.
Yeah, whatever. Try to make it like it's not coming out of your butt.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, let me squeak this chair loud enough.
Squeak.
Yeah, please. Yeah, exactly. No, it is season. It's series five.
Oh, it is series
five. Yeah, that's the one that we got. Series five is Glenn, Maggie, Tyrese, the Merle zombie, and the Charred zombie, which I can't freaking find anywhere.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Because my comic book store has it.
Oh, well, you need to go pick that up because I've got Glenn, I've got Maggie, Merle zombie. I haven't picked up Tyrese yet, but the charred zombie, can't find it. But
see, and I was, you know, I was there this afternoon, and every time I go, I keep looking at this charred zombie thinking, I love this so much because that was one of my favorite moments from last season.
Exactly.
I just thought, yeah.
It's so awesome. The burnt walkers.
Yeah. And it comes with its own little gas tank.
Exactly. So you can burn it at your house, technically.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I just love this. I love looking at this action figure. The one Daryl on his bike. It's so bad.
Oh,
it's...
I know. And it photographed well, too, didn't it? When I took that picture.
The picture was amazing. If you're listening to this podcast, go back, take a look. My mom predicted, well, she gave her thoughts on how season four, episode eight, should have ended with Daryl running the governor over and knocking his head off with his bicycle, with his motorbike, not his bicycle.
Not his bicycle.
He's got his bicycle.
He knocked it off with his bike.
Yeah, he knocked it off.
And then he skateboarded over it.
Exactly. And he's like, cowabunga. Yeah. Exactly. No, I love it. I don't want to take it out of the box, but I'm going to take it out of the box because it's freaking
okay. Awesome. So, and I will say, because the guys at the comic book store, I asked him, because they gave me shit at work when I took my other action figures out of the
box because I get it. You know, you don't want to take everything out of the box, but man, it's so much fun to play with.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He's like, well, how do you play with them if you don't take them out of the box?
Exactly.
So,
I can't put this box on my counter.
I don't have that much room anyway. What am I going to do? Just stack them up?
Exactly. Just stack them box after box after box.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't look cool at all.
Nope.
I think the last.
Okay. Yeah. We better hurry.
Yeah. The last little bit of news. I think we'll go pretty quickly this episode.
Whatever.
I wanted to put this out there. We'll probably talk about it again next week on our episode just because we're going to be going to Dallas Comic Con. But if you are looking to find some of the Walking Dead cast members, if you don't happen to be in Atlanta and you want to seek out some of your favorite cast members, here's a couple of conventions that are coming up. Dallas Comic Con, May 16th through 18th, is going to have David Morrissey, Michael Rooker, Emily Kinney, Denise Crosby, who is creepy creepy lady from Terminus.
Mm-hmm. Mary,
that's right. Motor City Comic Con, same weekend, 16th through 18th of May, featuring John Bertinall, Scott Wilson, Jane McNeil, Josh Stewart. I don't know who Jane McNeil and Josh Stewart are. I hate to say
I don't know who they are.
I feel like a non-fan for not knowing who they are.
I think maybe they're walkers.
They could be. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I apologize to them. I don't know. Puerto Rico Comic Con.
Oh God, that'd be so great.
It's only Michael Rooker.
Not that same weekend, obviously.
No. It's May 24th through 25th.
Oh.
Wizard mm-hmm. World Atlanta. I'm really excited because I'm going to be going to check this one out as well. Norman Reedus, John Bertinall, Michael Rooker, and Lauren Cohan.
Shut up.
I'm so sorry.
God, I hate you.
Oh, well, hey, if you want to go to Tulsa, Vincent M. Ward, who played Oscar, as well as, I do believe, Theotis Crane, Big Tiny.
He is. He's going to, this weekend.
This weekend, May 9th through 11th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you're in that area, you're listening to us right now, go check out Tulsa Comic Con. And there's another one, May 30th through June 1st in Orlando with Lori Holden, and that's Spooky Empires Mayhem. Don't know that one that well, so those are the places you can find some of the cast members, just in case you're not in Atlanta. You can't stalk them like I can and be a creeper, but an awesome creeper, because I wish if you're listening to our podcast and you go out there and take pictures with the cast members, tweet me. I'll even give you my phone number. You can call me and we can go hang out, because I want to be with you. I want to have a buddy group system. We all get together. We all go check out, sets and everything, as far as checking out.
He will quit his job.
Exactly. I will hang out with you 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not in a creepy way, but in a fun way.
Not in a creepy way at all, but in a fun way. All right, we'll be right after this with our thoughts on season 1, episode 3, Tell It to the Frogs. And we are back, finally, to talk about the actual episode that we just watched recently. I know. But hey, I have fun getting into the news because, it's just.
I'm teasing.
No, I know.
We could do this every day of the week.
I could, because, so many people tweet about the show and oh man, I'm just so fascinated by what they're saying and all these little theories that they have. I've recently joined two or three Walking Dead fan groups on Facebook, and they have the best questions. They're so much fun. I'm just we should use those for the podcast. I like that question, which there was one that I did like tonight that I actually took a picture of.
Oh, can you?
Do you want me to just go ahead and pose this to you real quick?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Yeah.
Okay.
No, do it now.
Megan Dietrich said on the Walking, this is the Walking Dead fan base. You can go join them. Just send them a message, say you want to join them on Facebook. If you could change one thing in The Walking Dead, what would it be?
See, and you know, because I think we've kind of danced around this a little bit in the way
characters, right?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. In the fact that we've asked for, you know, which character would you like to have back?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that'd probably be about the only thing that I would ever change.
Is this the characters?
It would be just having a character that I miss.
So you wouldn't want it to be like in
I'd like
Antarctica
it to be set in
like
I'd
that?
Like it to be set in Texarkana.
In Texarkana? You're like, one thing,
yes.
They're going to
yeah.
film it in Texarkana, and yeah. I'm going to hang out with them all the time.
Exactly. Or, you know, or Shreveport, Louisiana, you know, just, hey, Dallas, Texas, even.
Which is very surprising. I mean, because if you look at, you know, the landscape of where you live, it's somewhat similar to Georgia.
Oh, it's just exactly
not,
the same.
Not quite as hilly. It's a little bit flatter there. That's the only difference.
I am looking out my back window right now.
Oh, please. You don't have any hills or mountains.
I have a hill. It goes straight down a hill.
A mud hill or something like that. Or
shut up. Screw you. Come to my house. If you'd ever show up at my house every once in a while. Mother's Day is this weekend, you little...
I already got you presents. Yeah, Mother's Day is this weekend, you little shit. You got me shirts like a couple weeks ago that are really cool.
I'm kidding. We are going to the Dallas Comic Con
together.
That's
your Mother's Day, as well as some of the gifts that we haven't gave you from like Christmas.
Valentine's Day and Christmas.
Yeah, your Valentine's Day Christmas gifts will get to you for that time. For me, one thing I would change about The Walking Dead would be...
Oh, I know what it is. Don't wait.
Okay, guess.
You want Daryl and Carol to be together.
Nope, that's not it. What did they call that one? The Carol?
Carol?
Yes, uh-huh. The Carol. I don't want that to happen. I am on the Daryl Beth train because that means I would say that means that Beth's going to stay alive the longest. But that doesn't mean that would just make it more devastating for Daryl because he's, you know, he's already lost his poor brother and, you know, he's had it pretty rough in the zombie apocalypse. No, that's the true. One thing that I would change has nothing to do with the actual, like, you know, actors or scenes.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would have changed is continuity. I would have loved to seen The Walking Dead with basically four main, you know, like a few main people. Like a few main directors and a few main writers instead of having like, you know, a rotation of people that come in and out and that kind of stuff.
Like in Breaking Bad.
Exactly. Like in Breaking
mm-hmm.
Bad. That's mm-hmm. the only thing. And it's not even really that much of a gripe because to be honest, when you really think about it, how hard that would be to do.
Oh, what a crappy job.
Yeah. I've got to go direct The Walking Dead.
Again this week.
Yeah. I've got to go to stupid Georgia and hang out with all these cool people.
Yeah.
No, I just think it would be nice just to see. I would have liked to have seen how different the show would have been because we're on season one right now. Frank Darabont no longer around, and mm-hmm. when we're going back to this, you know, this season, I'm laying what he put. You know, I'm liking what he put down in season one. Like it's some pretty
season one
awesome
was incredible
stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, really quickly, what's your order? Season 1, 2, 3, or 4, rank them in order, really quickly, of your favorites.
Season 1, maybe 1, 2, 4?
1, 2, wait, what about 3?
Or maybe.
Did you just drop 3 out? You're like, get right.
Oh,
get out.
1, 2, 4, 3.
One.
Or maybe 1, 4, 2, 3.
I think that's a winner for me. Yeah. 1, 4, 2, 3 is definitely, and that's from favorite to least favorite. So, yeah, I would think, 3 was probably my least favorite overall. It was still fantastic.
It was fantastic when it went on.
And I can't wait to get back to it because we're going through season one and I'm just loving it so much. So let's get to this episode. Season 1, Episode 3, Tell It to the Frogs. It was directed by Gwyneth Horder-Payton. Worked on a lot of TV shows. I'm not going to give you the whole list.
That's good.
It was also written by Charles H. Egli. He's doing Hemlock Grove season 2 right now. He didn't do much after season 1 of The Walking Dead. Jack, these names are ridiculous.
LaDuci, LaDuciashi.
Yeah, Jack LoJudice. Not Judice. That sounds horrible. Black Jack. I don't know what the hell this guy's name
Jack.
Is. Yeah, just Jack. Good old Jack. He hadn't done anything since this season of The Walking Dead.
And you mean since that episode?
Since this episode, he has not done a thing in Hollywood. And they also have,
which is weird because that was a fantastic episode.
Well, let's get to that.
Okay.
With Frank Darabont's help. I always like to throw this out there. This one got 5.07 million viewers, which is up from episode 2's 4.71 million. Just to put this in perspective, I looked this up really quick. Season 4, episode 1 had 16.11 million.
Yeah.
A little bit different than, 5.07.
Well, okay, and again, I mean, and I don't want to, beat this horse to death, but you remember how we'd go to people and say, oh my God, are you watching The Walking Dead? It's just like the greatest show ever. And they would look at you like you were just out of your damn mind.
Yeah, they looked at you like you're crazy. Well, now who's crazy?
That's right.
You crazy.
It ain't us.
Yeah, it ain't us. It was you. But yeah, I just like to put that out there just because it was interesting mm-hmm. to like see the different numbers. I'm all numbers person. I'm weird like that.
Yeah, you are weird.
Yeah, I am weird. All right, let's start it off. What did you think of the episode? What was it? Tell It to the Frogs.
Mm-hmm. Did Merle get an Emmy for this? Did he get an Oscar? I mean, this was just, what a great episode. I thought the acting was incredible in this episode. I'm sorry, my computer keeps dying on me.
Oh,
so.
Sorry. No, I agree. Merle, that was the, to me, there was a lot of really great parts of this episode. And Merle, his opening monologue, his opening scenes.
When he is bargaining with Jesus.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
I thought that was some of the best things that we've ever seen in The Walking Dead. Doesn't matter. Season 1 through 4, Michael Rooker is an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, whenever we went to that, I think Michael Rooker was like my choice to like, I was like, I want to see him back on the show just because I'd have loved to see how just batshit crazy he would have went in Terminus. Like, that would have been just
That'd be awesome.
Because we don't have that, like, alpha dog character at this point. Abraham hasn't shown that yet. But yeah, I absolutely loved Merle's opening scene. So overall, you really enjoyed the episode.
Oh, God. It was so good. I loved the whole, because this is where we finally, reunite Rick with his family. And just that whole poor Lori, when she sees Rick come up, she's so excited to, to see him.
Did you cry?
Sort of. No, I didn't. No, not this time.
Oh, my God. Like, I mean, I didn't cry. I didn't go full tears. But I got pretty emotional. Which was really surprising for me, the fact that I knew this happened. I mean, let's get real. We know that Rick met up with Lori, and we know what happens. But I don't know, it just did something to me. I don't know, whenever, he stepped out of that car and he saw Shane first, and Shane's like, Shane kind of had that, oh shit, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that time. Oh, I'm that smile, that he got, that, oh, that's my best friend. Oh God, I'm boinking his wife.
Yes, boinking. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you learn new words on
the
show?
I do. I learn new words every time we talk about boinking. And there's another part of this episode that I'm like, should we just avoid that whole comment?
Oh, God, no, we are not.
I know.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite spots.
Preview of things coming ahead that is going to embarrass me.
I can't wait.
Tell me about.
That's right.
Yeah, that point. I mean, we were hitting in just two knockout punches right in a row. Merle and then Rick meeting up with Lori and Carl. I thought those were two of the best parts of the episode. I will have to say that I kind of see why I don't know. I waffle back and forth on this episode after having watched it again. I love going back to it, mm-hmm. but it definitely felt like a filler episode to me. Like they talked about the fact that the first season was shot like a 6-hour movie, and this definitely felt like that middle portion that was like setting things up to come, which isn't always bad.
No, you've got to. I mean, you can't have complete nonstop action, obviously.
Yeah.
And I guess this one didn't have.
Well, it started out really strong.
Yeah.
Like super duper strong, and I mean, it. I guess I really did like it. But I do, I don't know, I guess I had some moments where I was just like,
I mean, this is where we see the beginning of Shane starting to lose his mind.
This is very, well, I don't know. We might have saw a little bit of that last episode, like we talked about, where he, like, came up behind her like a, you know, strangler.
Okay, well, that part was weird.
Yeah.
But,
unless you're into
but
it.
I mean, already being, you know, this, the, where he's being pushed. He might have not completely lost his mind if Rick hadn't come back.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that, that Rick coming back that played a huge, huge impact on him emotionally. And, the fact that, you know, he seemed to be in love with Lori. I've got to get to this. I've got to ask you, because to me that there's a couple of main points in this episode. There's, you know, Merle's opening, Rick finding Carl and Lori, which was fantastic. And I mm-hmm. thought Andrew Lincoln and Lori and Chandler Riggs and Lori, what's her name? I told you I'm blanking tonight.
Oh, you know, I don't know. It's all the drugs that we both have taken to get Sarah Wayne.
Yeah, Sarah Wayne Callies. God, I mean, I'm telling you, like, tonight is rough for me. But yeah, that part, you know, those were two major, major plot lines. Obviously, we'll get into another character that made his way into the show. But I just wanted to get this out of the way first. Do you feel that if it wasn't for Lori, Shane would have been normal?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that's why, you know, there was so many people that were pissed off. They stayed pissed off at Lori
mm-hmm.
because of her whole playing both of the men. She didn't play them. She was in love with both of them for separate reasons.
I totally think so, because in this episode, I mean, Shane was super awesome.
He was. I mean, he was great with Carl. I mean, he was, you know, joking with him all the time. And he, you know, that one scene where Rick has already taken off back to Atlanta to try to, you know, rescue Merle. And Lori is cutting Carl's hair. And, you know, Shane is there and he's joking with the two of them.
That was before. That was before Rick got there, I think. Yeah, because that was when he was telling him about the frogs. He hadn't seen Rick at that point.
Hmm.
Remember?
Regardless.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm just saying because like, yeah. That was before, but he was still awesome afterwards. Sorry, mm-hmm. I apologize. Mm-hmm.
No. But yeah, I mean, he was just great. Now, he was a little harsh with everybody else, and obviously he gets super, super harsh with Carol's douchebag husband.
Yeah, poor old Ed. I mean,
yeah, Ed got the smackdown.
Well, Ed shouldn't have been such a dick earlier with the fire thing. I mean, come on, dude. Like, you're in a zombie apocalypse and you're out
cold.
There. Yeah,
it was cold.
It's cold. I'm cold. Yeah. I was like, you're going to catch a beating later on. And he definitely did. But yeah, I don't know. That was my one complaint with the episode, was just like, where did that come from? Like, Shane was perfectly nice. He even went up to Rick and was like, you know, Rick, I don't feel right with you going back into Atlanta to find Merle without having some ammo. And I mean,
oh yeah, here's four bullets.
Yeah, here's four guys and four bullets. Kill yourself.
Kill yourself.
Yeah. And I love the, you know, Andrew Lincoln, Rick's line of you in that whatever is duffel bag, like a, you in a woman's purse or something like that. I love that line.
And there was, I mean, at least there, thank goodness there was some release of tension between the two of them. I mean, you still felt occasionally that, that closeness, but you know, I always think that Shane had always had a thing for Lori. And you know, I mean, obviously the zombie apocalypse was just the opportunity for him to steal Rick's family.
Yeah. For him to capitalize on that. No, I'd agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely seems like one of those guys that, you know, the want what they can't have type guy.
Right.
And, you know, Lori was never attainable in the pre-zombie apocalypse world, but she was once, you know, once Rick got put in the coma. I still blame Lori for a lot of this because she came out of left field and, like, just blasted Shane whenever he was being so nice to Carl, like, you know, teaching him how to find the frogs, and he was just
leave
being
my family
nice.
Alone.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What did he do? Yeah.
And that's one of my things that I've always had just a teeny little bit of an issue with The Walking Dead and the way that they treat their female characters. Because they occasionally give them lines that you go, you know, what woman would be that way? Because they did that a lot with Andrea.
Yes.
They, you know, they made her just into this, you know, this person that could have been really strong and that you should have liked. She was just a bitch. you know, and I mean, I was like, you know, will she ever go? And so I didn't really understand why they made her immediately go,
she
Lori,
is
go
so
to.
Awesome in the comics.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, not Andrea. Andrea,
right. Yeah.
So epic in the comic books. She is such a badass.
She likes, you know, the old dude, Dale, as a joke.
Exactly. Hey, Dale's a sexy man. That hat
is. That hat is extremely sexy.
Yeah, exactly. Does it for all the ladies out there. Speaking of female characters, what did you think about Carol?
That is amazing to see the transformation from this totally mousy, you know, obviously beat down woman that is terrified. That's one of the things I love seeing is how much she's changed.
Yeah.
What about you?
No, I completely agree. It didn't even look like the same person. I mean,
well, her hair was so short.
It's like her, not even the hair so much, was like her facial features. And I mean, obviously her gestures and expressions.
Right.
I mean, she was just a very meek character that, you know, if Ed was around, not a peep was coming out of her.
Yeah. And she was pulled into herself. You know, she didn't stand straight up.
Yeah.
She was this hunched over, you know, tried not to call any attention to herself. She was afraid, you know, because I know the scene that you're worried about discussing, and it's the scene down at the quarry.
Yeah.
And the ladies are washing clothes, and they're talking about the things that they miss, like their coffee maker and various, you know, their washing machine. And
I miss my coffee maker.
With my gold filter drip. And then, you know, Andrea says, you know, I miss my vibrator.
Yeah.
And then
I was like,
Carol says,
we're gonna have to talk about this. I forgot about this scene. Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah. Which, you know, they have batteries. So, I'm not really sure why they miss them.
And it's not like they're probably not readily available in the zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. Now, the tent walls, I guess, you know, maybe, you know, everyone's like, oh, God, Andrea's at it again. She's got her bob.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we just went there.
I can't believe you went.
Well. Yeah, that was my listener fan service right there.
That was awesome.
I had to go there.
Yep. Then Carol says, yeah, she misses, you know, hers as well. But she does that thing where she kind of looks up. She's trying to see where Ed is. And then they go into laughing about the whole comet. And that's when Ed doesn't understand why there's a bunch of ladies laughing and not cleaning his dirty underwear. And you know, Shane gives him the smackdown.
Yeah. It was very weird getting to see, like, I mean, there was a lot of themes that this show covered early on. And I don't know if the show would broach them again, or if it was just the fact that it was like, this was so early in the zombie apocalypse. We saw like a melting pot of these different characters' personalities, and the fact that, you know, talking about vibrators, we're talking about, yeah, you know, dropping in bombs, and we're dropping, right. I mean, we're, and I, you know, rapist type people, and, you know, abusive.
And I'm curious how you feel about Daryl's change. Do you feel like he changed as much as he did because his character on the show changed, or because he became this fan favorite? Is that what softened him up?
I don't know. I mean, it is kind of weird to think about it, because he is one of the few characters that are left. I mean, when you look at season one, episode three, we've got Rick, we've got Carol, we've got Carl, we've got Daryl. Do we have anybody else?
Mm-mm.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's crazy to think. And I mean, those four characters have been there since the early days of the show with Frank Darabont. And
Norman Reedus doesn't even look the same.
No, doesn't look the same, doesn't talk the same, doesn't act the same. It's crazy to see his transformation, because, you know, I did write down here, you know, it's like Daryl Dixon and the ladies go wild, because, I mean, he had quite the entrance into the Walking Dead universe. Mm-hmm. And I was just cracking up the entire time when he came in. He was so pissed off about that deer. He's like, that was my deer, or whatever he said. That was my mm-hmm. beat. I can't remember exactly what he said when he was pissed off that walker had came in and took a bite out of his deer. But it was so awesome whenever he made his way in. And I don't know. I don't know if it was him that changed, or just the fact that, you know, like you said, like, he'd become such a fan favorite that they were like, we can't make him as controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he was not a very nice guy. And, like, I mean,
no, he was, you know, his motorcycle had the, you know, he was the little SS figure on it. I mean, you know, he was just a neo-Nazi skinhead douchebag. Yeah. And did you notice that your motorcycle does not have that on the toy?
Well, that's what I was looking for. I was like, it's got a skull and crossbones
right
on the toy.
But it has a Hello Kitty kind of skull and crossbones.
Well, I mean, Norman Reedus does love Hello Kitty.
I know, but so. I'm just saying it's a very soft. Because I was talking about that at the comic book store. We were going, why is that not on there?
I mean, I'm looking it up right now. Trying to see
because you know, I've talked to people on Twitter about it before, about the fact that that was on his motorcycle, and you know, there's people that are like, you know, okay, did we have to go there on his motorcycle? You know, they could have just as easily taken it off. Well, I mean, they were trying to create a character.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, especially when you couple him with Merle.
Yeah.
Who, you know, Merle's obviously, he's, you know, he's racist in the show and that.
Oh, yeah.
That,
I mean, he drops the N-bomb, the second show.
Yeah, the second that we meet up with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is weird to think about that effect that, you know, why did Daryl change so much? Was it for the best? I don't know. I mean, I love Daryl both ways, but man, he was definitely hellaciously funny in this episode.
He was funny.
And when they're going back into town and he's, oh, well, the before they go back into town, the funny part where he's like, you know, he gets into the fight with Shane and Rick because that he finds out that they chain Merle up on top of this roof, and he's like, choke holding's illegal.
Yeah, Shane gets him from behind and, you know, got him grabbed around
which
the neck.
Which did piss me off. Did it piss you off? I'm like, hey, fair fight for Daryl. This is Daryl Dixon we're talking about here. But it's because I love him so much now.
Yeah, but yeah, the choke holding's illegal. Yeah. And you know, I just thought that was a hilarious line.
Mm-hmm. And then whenever they're leaving and he's like, come on. And he like honks on the horn. He kicks the horn. He doesn't like honk on it. He like, puts his boot on it and honks the horn. I was like, that's right. That's Daryl mother effing Dixon right there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm glad to see that, the change that his character did make and the softening of him, because he does, obviously we wouldn't have that whole Rick and Daryl brother thing if he hadn't have become a nicer guy. But yeah, I can, I do miss the comic relief of, just the redneck jackass.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I guess we have the comic relief now more of Dr. Eugene Porter, Abraham Ford. They're kind of more the comic relief.
Yes, they are. I don't think they're really supposed to be.
I don't know yet. I mean, that's been talked about by a lot of people. It's like, are they supposed to be the comic relief, or is that just unintentional that they kind of wrote the characters that way? I don't know yet. I guess, to be determined on those characters, because, I mean, Dr. Eugene Porter is like way overboard, because Glenn was hilarious in season one, the first couple of episodes we've seen thus far.
Right.
Daryl, hilarious. I mean, he was excellent. And I mean, those two provided a lot of the comic relief. I can totally see why they buddy up so much at like comic book conventions. You always see them like taking pictures. They've got like some costume that they put on as they go like walk the show floor. I can see where it came from, because they're the jokesters in the first couple of seasons. I agree with you. I love the bromance between Rick and Daryl. There's nothing better on TV. I want to be in the bromance with them. Like, I just,
I know,
like,
I'm so sorry.
And like, oh, I'll wear my trucker hat. Let's go play golf together type stuff. Yeah. It's awesome. But, so your first impression of Daryl were you like excited?
No, I thought he was great. I mean, we live in the South, so we do know some of those people.
I'm related to a bunch of them.
You what?
I'm related to a lot.
I was going to say that, but then I thought maybe I shouldn't. But yeah, I'm glad you went there. You are related to some of those people.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
When you're raised in the South, you don't realize that you're a total douchebag like that sometimes. So anyway, but yeah, I loved the character. I hated how I how much I love Shane. So I did hate to see, the beginning of the end already, for Shane's character.
Yeah. This episode definitely marked the beginning of the end for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was sad to see, because Shane's awesome on the show. John Bernthal,
he's so amazing.
He brought so much more to that character than he was in the comic book. In the comic book, he was kind of just like there and then he was gone.
Yeah.
Wasn't as big of a deal. I mean, John Bernthal just absolutely killed it as Shane. Like, he made Shane into somebody that, like, today fans are still like, we love Shane. And Shane was the bad guy. Like, you weren't supposed to love Shane. You were supposed to, like, hate Shane. But it was conflicting, because, yes, he was so good with Carl. He was good with Lori. Like, he was making, Lori seemed to be happy and everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's why it was such a weird turnaround. Which I totally get, she's like, I don't want Rick to find out that we were just boning a little earlier. So,
yeah.
which is not.
I had the ring around my neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't have this ring on because I had it around my neck when Shane was choking me. All right. Well, I have one other question for you, and then we'll wrap this week's episode up. I have to ask you this because I'll probably forget about it. Oh, before I get to the question. What did you think about the fact of that one poor walker that was in the camp?
I felt sorry for him.
Oh, I did too. I mean, it was pretty funny seeing everybody just like whack, whack, whack.
And they, the walkers are just different now than they were in the beginning of The Walking Dead. And this dude looked like somebody's grandfather.
Exactly.
And he even does this thing where he kind of puts up his arm when he starts. And I'm like, oh my God, they're beating this poor old guy to death.
Yeah,
exactly.
Poor grandpa's getting beat to death in the back.
Exactly. He's like, I just wanted to give you a Werther's candy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was rough, but it was hilarious.
It was rough and hilarious, and I did love the fact that Dale, I mean, he just chopped that walker's head right off.
That was nice to see him with an axe.
Yeah, it was. That was pretty cool. All right, my last question to you is this. Like I said, this is a totally random question, and this is kind of encompassing all of season one through season four. But we see that Rick comes out of the coma, and this has been a question that's been posed like many, many times. And the fact that Shane and everybody, they were like, you know, Rick's dead. Rick's not you know, not a part of the living anymore. Do you think that The Walking Dead is all a dream and that Rick is still in a coma right now?
Mind blown.
you've never heard yeah. this? Or okay, I was
gonna
say,
but no, I don't think so. Even though, I mean, he does talk about in this particular episode, you know, that I thought I was still, you know, in the coma, wondering, you know, was this world really here?
Yeah. Exactly. So dreams within a dream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which are the worst.
Yeah.
And I mean, your mind can make up obviously horrible, horrible things, and you're screaming, you can't get out.
Yeah.
Somebody wake me up. Exactly. So what do you think? Do you think he's still in the coma? That would be really freaking interesting.
It would be. I mean, I've heard Robert Kirkman talk about this in the past, that, you know, fans said that they would be just irate if all of a sudden The Walking Dead ended one day and Rick wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I mean, obviously in the comic books, we're about to get a major, major change and shift in the Walking Dead universe with issue mm-hmm. 127. Still hasn't came mm-hmm. out yet. I think it comes out next week, the week of Dallas Comic Con. So I'll be really excited to talk about that. Not spoil it, but just, you know, see what's going on.
And see, I'm just going to say this real quick because, you know, I'm still not caught up.
Yeah, no, I will never spoil.
But I've been really tempted to begin again from 137 because it's supposed to be such a shift.
Oh yeah, 127 is the issue.
Is 127?
Yeah, 127. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I'll let you know. I'll let the listeners out there know if they can, you know, just start it, you know, fresh from 127 if they like, or if they need to read up from there. But yeah, I don't know. I would never want him to be in a dream. So
Me either. I think I would probably be I'd probably be a little pissed, but then, you know, I would also appreciate the fact that, okay, that was interesting.
Yeah.
It was a wild ride.
Yeah, and Shane's still alive. I mean, because
Shane is still alive.
Yeah, Shane, old Johnny Burton, all still alive. So, yeah, I don't know. If any listeners out there have any theories on whether or not they think that The Walking Dead is all a dream, feel free. You know, you can tweet at us. It's The Walking Naked. That's our Twitter for the podcast. Or you can find us on My Mom Saw Me Naked. So on Facebook.
On Facebook, yes.
So, Mom, do you have any closing thoughts? Let's wrap up this week's episode.
No.
No?
Other than the fact that, I mean, I'm just, you know, because I'm just so excited that the season has begun filming. I cannot wait. And I'm a little nervous about being on Twitter and seeing pictures of people that are, you know, tweet things
yeah.
from the set. I think they're very, very careful with The Walking Dead, though.
Supposedly, you can only get the people as they're walking off set. So that's where most of the pictures come from, I think, is the fact. Now, I mean, I'm sure there's some, you know, crazy reconnaissance. How do you say that?
Now I've met reconnaissance.
I don't know. Yes.
It's reconnaissance.
Yes. There you go. They're doing recon. There you go.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'm like, gosh, damn it. This word's going to beat me.
But yeah, he's kind of a reconnaissance man.
Yes. He's a reconnaissance man. Yes. It's, Danny DeVito is the reconnaissance. Gosh, I forget this stupid word.
haircuts.
Yeah, I think that you have to sit outside and they walk out, and that's when the fans can like take pictures with them and whatnot. And usually they're not even in their outfits they're wearing, so that way you can't even tell anything. But I don't know. I am going to do it this year. I was here, you know, living in Atlanta last year. Didn't take part in any of the fan film, you know, not the fan film, any part of the filming or anything like that. Basically because my job, you know, hates me, and they're like, you're supposed to be here all the time.
I don't get that.
Exactly. Who
apparently they don't follow you on Twitter.
Exactly. I'm like, hey guys, I got things to do.
I got some tweets to put out.
Exactly. I got some tweets to get not paid for.
That's right. Hey, it's Friday. It's time for Friday follow.
Exactly. Got lots and lots of tweets for that. I'm sure people are like, oh my God, I got to stop following these people. Hopefully not. But yeah, I don't know. I'll check it out and I will let you know. And I wish that you would be able to check it out with me. But at least we get the podcast together, which is a whole lot of fun. Next week, are we going to be interviewing?
I'm not, you know, I'm waiting on.
Yotus Crane.
Theo, come on, dude.
Tiny, get back to my mom's.
Yeah, I think because I know he was, you know, he was busy this week because he was leaving tomorrow to go to Tulsa for that Comic-Con.
Yes.
So I'm still not sure about next week.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Well, if you know, it'll be a nice little surprise if we suddenly have an interview with Theotis Crane, who plays Big Tiny on The Walking Dead. If not, we'll be back with Season 1, Episode 4 recap, and of course, Walking Dead news, which you've, you know, your only place and best place to find the latest in Walking Dead.
Yes, yes, and the only one that, you know, is the official unofficial.
Yeah, we're the officially unofficial world's number one mother-son Walking Dead podcast team.
You're supposed to go number one mother-son podcast team.
Oh, is that how I'm supposed to do it?
Right, you got to do the mother-son part really low so that people maybe don't hear that part.
Walking Dead podcast team. Yeah. Well, Mom, it was a lot of fun. I will let you get to your bedtime. I enjoyed it, and I'm loving this. I never thought that in a million years I would just super enjoy, you know, watching these episodes that I've already seen a million times. But they've been just they've been so good. Like I forgot how good they were. I can't wait to see what happens in episode 4 because I forget everything. So it's like it's all new to me. So
I know, that's a great thing. And yeah. I'll wonder tomorrow. Did we actually do a podcast yesterday?
Exactly.
So that's so great.
Like last week. Did we do a podcast last week?
That's what we were talking about this week on which episode we were going to watch for the podcast. And I said, well, episode 2 of season 1. You're like, no, Mom, we did that last week. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. We did. So yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, we do the podcast together because you're like the one person in the world that I sometimes beat in memory retention.
Well, I'm glad I could be here for you.
I am glad. I'm glad you're here as well. So, Mom, where can they find you on Twitter?
Ditzy DJ. It's DITTZY DJ on Twitter. Of course, like you said before, my mom saw me naked. Facebook page.
Yes, on Facebook. That's where we post all of our podcasts because we do another podcast, which is called My Mom Saw Me Naked. It's a pop culture, I don't know, bonanza of fun. It's a whole lot of fun. We just talk about
potpourri.
A potpourri of pop culture. And yeah, we do that one as well. You can find me on Twitter. It's the_naked_nerd. And like we said before, go check out The Walking Naked on Twitter as well. And we would love for you to give us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. That's where it helps other people find us, other fans of The Walking Dead. If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. If you don't enjoy our show, tell us why you didn't enjoy it so that way we can improve.
But still put 5 stars there so we'll notice it.
You can bash the hell out of us, but just put 5 stars there.
Yeah,
exactly. Then we'll still love you.
Yeah.
Yes.
As we read your terrible, terrible review.
Yes, as we stick pins into your little
voodoo doll.
Yes. Also, please go check out filmdispenser.com. They're our lovely sponsors for this podcast. They have all of your comic book, movies, video games, television, all of your wants, needs, and desires in one place. So go check out filmdispenser.com.
And the batteries to go in it.
And in that point, we are ending this podcast.
Okay, bye-bye, y'all.
Bye-bye now.
dollar, that's what I need. And if I share with